Hey, Mark, it's Rich. Good morning.
What's up, Rich?
Living the dream. How about you, sir?
I'm doing all right over here, and as usual, appreciative of your always thoughtful and educated support of what we do. So thank you.
I've never been called both of those things in the same sentence. That feels pretty good.
Well, I'll never do it again.
Thank you.
The last chance.
Well, I'm excited to see the show. Let's talk about the premise of this, and I love it for its simplicity and the infinite possibilities that it gives you and Jay, the single room of an average American motel.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, for us, you know, we've always been interested in, I guess, what we call the epically small of life. When you look at seemingly ordinary things that might seem sort of uninteresting and, you know, quite frankly, just banal, like that boring chain motel out by the airport. You know, when you look closely enough, there's some of the, yeah, I guess the more interesting things happening there. And so that was the initial premise behind it. But from there, it sort of expanded.
Now, does that also, along with giving you lots of creative license, does it give you some, I guess, some economic freedom as well, that you can keep the costs fairly low?
Yeah, that's been a critical part of what we've been doing these days. You know, so there's no secret that the film and TV industry is, you know, just full of tons of stuff. You know, I mean, who do you not talk to that doesn't have their Netflix queue lined with 300 things they want to see and they don't have time to see it? And what that really means is that, you know, you can't really make things that are too expensive, because if they don't pop, then you get canceled, you know? And so for our opinion is like, listen, we'll build a little hotel room set by our house, and we'll use creative limits to make the show interesting. You know, everybody gets 3 days to shoot an episode, which is about half of what you get on a normal show. And you only get a couple of actors, and you have to stay inside of the four walls of the motel. We never leave the grounds. And, you know, that could be looked at as an annoying limit, but for us, limits can inspire creativity. And so we just kind of went with that. And you know, quite frankly, when you make a cheap show, it's you got a lot better chance of staying on the air.
Well, yeah, and the other thing that I think is interesting about this is, and you and Jay have always been so good at finding new talent and encouraging those people, and it sounds like you're doing that with the directors for Room 104.
Yeah, we wrote the majority of the episodes, but we didn't direct any of them this year, and you know, the goal was to see what a true collaboration like that would bring. You know, we've been writing and directing our own stuff for years, and that's great, but you know, we want to be clear to people that Room 104 does not really look and feel like a Duplass Brothers movie or like what you've seen from us before. It's pretty different. It's a little wilder, a little more electric, a little more risk-taking. And so it was really fun for us to hand over one of our stories, you know, to a completely different director and see what they would do with it. And again, take chances on that great 28-year-old filmmaker whose short we saw at Sundance, who nobody's given them a chance yet to make their own thing, and that's kind of what we like to do.
I love the idea of the anthology. As somebody who grew up watching reruns of the old Alfred Hitchcock shows, I think it's terrific, and it does gives you a lot of flexibility and maybe allows you to get some people because they don't have to make a big-time commitment.
Yeah, it's a really fun way to make a show because, you know, every episode is a new cast of characters and a new story every night, you know, and so that does a couple of things for us. You know, first, it allows us to get these great actors because they only have to give us 3 days and tell a fun story. But secondarily, it allows you to tell different kinds of stories that you normally don't get to tell. You know, when you're making a movie, you need your lead characters to be someone that, you know, the whole world can understand, and what that does is it kind of dilutes the storytelling a little bit. But in Room 104, we get to take that side character that you only see for 5 minutes normally. We take them and we make them the lead actor in our story, and that's really fun for us.
We're talking with Mark Duplass. Room 104 debuts on HBO on July 28th. The first episode, Ralphie, involves something in the bathroom. Is that a pretty good quickie analysis there?
Yeah. You know, our first episode is a babysitting episode. It's a young woman who comes to the motel room and she's gotten a babysitting gig off of Craigslist. She doesn't know this man who's leaving her with her, you know, with his young son. And it's very emblematic of the show as a whole, because when you open the episode, it could be a tender, loving story of a connection between a young babysitter and a young boy who needs a mother figure. It could be a little more of a, comedy, watching how this woman struggles to take care of this kid because she doesn't know what she's doing. Could be a little more in the thriller, or it could be a straight-up horror story, and you don't really know what you're going to get. And that's part of the fun of the sort of roulette reel that is Room 104, is, you know, just as a hotel room on any given night can house any kind of story, we've let that be the overriding ideology for the show itself. Show up on Friday night at 11:30, and you really don't know what you're going to get.
Did I read correctly, too, that one of the episodes in this first season is done entirely through modern dance?
Yeah, that was a really fun risk we decided to take. But, you know, again, like, when you're making a show like this, and HBO is so wonderfully supportive of us and just basically letting us get our freak on with this show, we decided to make an episode that's all told visually, all told through dance. There's no dialogue in it, and we hired this, you know, just an incredible dance choreographer from Seattle, and then she collaborated with our cinematographer to help set that tone. And it was, you know, I keep mentioning this word, but Room 104 is just a big, intense study in collaboration and bringing lots of different people together and see what that alchemy does.
You've got a great relationship, as you mentioned, with HBO. They did cancel Togetherness after two seasons. I love that show so much. It was such a wonderful ensemble, the writing, everything about it was so good.
Our relationship with HBO, thank you for that. Our relationship with HBO is like a great marriage. You know, 2 years ago, we hit a bump in the road. We went to therapy. We decided not to divorce. And then we've come out together and we've made a new show and it's great. And, you know, honestly, Togetherness was 2 years of, it was really creatively wonderful, but it was very hard on me and Jay because we wrote, directed every episode, we produced it, I acted in it, and it almost killed us trying to make that. And that's part of why we loved Room 104, was like, hey, you know, as we get a little older, we realize, like, it really would have been nice when we were in our 20s trying to figure out what we were doing if someone had been there to kind of tap us and mentor us a little bit. And so we're able to do that now with these kind of like younger and interesting filmmakers who haven't gotten a shot before. And it just really, honestly, it just works out.
You've also got a great working relationship with Netflix. And I've told you this before, but Blue Jay was one of my favorite movies of last year. It was so wonderful. You and Sarah Paulson just blew the doors off that thing. It was so good.
Thank you. That's really one of my favorite movies that I think we've made in a while, and it was something I wrote specifically for me and Sarah, and, you know, we made it. It's a really small, you know, kind of classic black and white relationship story, and those kinds of movies don't really get made these days, and we're lucky to have places like Netflix where we do our movies and HBO where we do our TV shows to kind of support us, and as you said before, the way we do that is we just come in and we just say, hey, we know that this is risky stuff, so just give us like 25% of what you normally spend and we'll take care of the rest. So we don't get super rich, but we get to do what we want to do, and it's great.
And you got Clue Gulager to make that wonderful cameo.
Exactly. I mean, a classic.
Also, I wanted to talk with you about a project you're working on. You're helping to support the Wounded Warrior Project. How did you get involved with that?
We've been doing a couple of different things. I mean, you know, long story short, ever since the election, we've been very, like, kind of overwhelmed with the caustic level of conversation between left and right, and we are admittedly, you know, ridiculously liberal, but our thing is, like, how can we find charitable causes that are bipartisan to unite left and right to raise money together. So I've been doing a lot of research and like meeting these really cool people who are ideologically so different from me, like Glenn Beck, and discovering lots of different ways that I guess you can reach across the aisle. And the Wounded Warrior Project was interested to me because, you know, they had a bad look a few years ago because they got some bad corporate information about how they weren't efficient. They restructured, but still, like, nobody's really helping to support them, even though they do great work. And secondarily, for me, you know, most liberals don't support veterans because they loop it in, unfortunately, with military spending. And that was a blind spot I found that I also had as a liberal. And so I thought it was a good cause to kind of unite. And it's really great because, you know, I'm not, look, there are certain causes that are strictly liberal that I support, but this one is really easy to get everybody together. And so we have a fundraiser going on Indiegogo if you want to look it up. It's called hashtag DoMore104. And I'm putting up a bunch of money and asking people to sort of match me for donations. And I'll go dollar for dollar up to about $10,000 and see what we can do.
Well, and I really respect what you're doing with this, too, because as a fellow bleeding heart liberal, but I also came of age at a time when, you know, I believed in silly things like the fact that as a people in America, we have more in common than that separates us. And I love what you're doing on social media because I think it's important that we engage everybody in the conversation.
By no means do I have any answers whatsoever, but I have found like one tiny little sliver of something, which is that I know what it means to be in deeply complicated relationships where sometimes you want to kill somebody, but you still have to be with them because I work with my brother and my wife. So I am intensely skilled at the art of, I hate you right now, but we have to find a way to move forward and we have to find a way to make peace. My brother and I literally just wrote a book about it. And so if I have anything to offer to the conversation, you know, it's in the realm of let's try to put aside some of these grand differences and focus on what we can do together. And for me, bipartisan charitable giving, causes we all agree on, clean water systems in third world countries, you know, veterans, foster care. Oh, there's a lot of stuff that we agree on that we can kind of get behind and, I don't know, see if we can kind of maybe reduce the toxicity levels.
A great idea indeed. Are you coming up to Maine at all this summer?
Yeah, so we're coming east for a big family trip. You know, we have a lot of, my wife Katie, if those of you who do or don't know, grew up in Millbridge, and so we have a lot of family all up and down the East Coast. So we'll have a little tour coming up and back, and we had the Bud family who lives right there in Bangor with you guys visited us. We actually have Lauren is my intern at Duplass Brothers this summer, so she's a Bangor native, and then Mary Bud, who runs basically things over at your Penobscot Theater Company. She was actually a big part of helping us, do our book, which she actually gave me the title for my book. So we're all linked up in Bangor and in Maine these days, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, so I give a shout out on social media to your nephew when the Bangor Rams won that state championship in baseball.
Yeah, Charlie won the state championship in baseball, and he's going to kill me for saying this, but he also only missed one question on his SATs, and like they're just like, I don't know, I'm just having some severe proud uncle moments these days. They're killing it over there.
That's awesome. Mark, great to talk with you as always. Really looking forward to Room 104. It debuts Friday night, July 28th at 11:30 p.m. Always great to talk with you, Mark.
Thank you so much for your support, Rich. And if I don't see you this summer, have a great summer.
Thanks. You too. And say hi to Katie for us.